That's good worship. I think y'all wanted to kind of celebrate a little bit after that, but you kind of like you didn't really want to. So I tell you what, let's thank the Lord for His grace. It's okay. If Jeff gets mad at me for doing that, I guess I'll hear about that this week. But anyway, I think he embraces that. I told a couple of visitors this morning, if you're visiting with us this morning, God bless you. Glad that you're here. I told a couple of them that I'm not the regular preacher, so if I really stink it up today, then come back next week. It's bound to be better or different, one of the two. This is the second time in the last month that I preached, so I just want the stewardship committee and those committees to take note of that. May need to be some kind of salary adjustment at the end of the year. I'm not sure, but give and take or whatever needs to happen there. No, I'm just, I feel honored to get up and share God's word with you this morning. We're going to continue the sermon series that Jeff started 3 or 4 weeks back on Truth Matters. And the question this morning about truth mattering is, how should we pray? There was a number of emails that was submitted to Jeff about prayer. How do we do it? Should we pray for just maybe perhaps God's will, or should we get more specific in prayer, praying for particular outcomes? I'm just going to read some of the questions that some of you guys submitted. Hopefully all those will be addressed this morning. One question was, should we pray for world peace? Should we pray for wars to end? I think maybe we should. I don't think we're going to have peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes back. But man, we need to end some wars in some certain areas. We need some soldiers to come home to be with families. I think we can reach out and pray about that. Another question submitted, should we constantly continue to ask for help and guidance? Does God get tired of us asking? Do we wear Him out? With us constantly going to Him, perhaps on a daily basis, God, meet my needs this day? I don't think so. There are several examples in Scripture. The persistent widow comes to mind, that she went to a judge and she wore that judge out. That's what God's Word says. Until he said, okay, I've had enough. God bless you. I hear what you're saying. Another question, should we pray for healing even if that's not God's will? And we don't know that until after the fact a lot of the time. Should we pray for healing and then, you know, it turns out that maybe that particular person wasn't healed of that illness. Should we do that? Here's another one. Should we really pray for things to turn out like we want them or with some kind of outcome in mind? Not from selfishness, but is that being selfish if we do that? Shouldn't we just praise God instead and accept the outcome as His will? So a lot of things to cover, a lot of ground to cover. And prayers, it should be the easiest thing that we do as believers in Christ. It really should. A.W. Tozer says that it should flow out of us just as blood pulses through our veins without us knowing it, just as we breathe in and out without us really realizing that. Prayer should be that common for us to do because we're believers in Christ. But it's difficult. It's hard to do. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. There's a lot of resources available. If you don't know how to pray, you can go to any bookstore. And there's usually a section of a gazillion, not a gazillion, but a bunch of books in regard to prayer. You know, how we do it. How do we engage the Lord? So there's a lot of resources out there to help us do that. I love to hear children pray. They're so honest, you know, and it's kind of comical. If you're really struggling with maybe how to pray this morning, I've got a little video I want to show you. And maybe these children can kind of give us an idea. Well, the kingdom of God belongs to those such as these. There were a couple of those that were kind of long, and you may not have a chance to read those. This is from Nan. Dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only four in our family, and I could never do that. And then Charles prayed, Dear God, I do not think anybody could be a better God. Well, I just want you to know, but not because I'm saying that, just because you are God. And so, boy, the prayers of children. I think that's how God wants us to come to Him. And He weeds all that stuff out. I mean, I don't know if God sent Dennis Clark to a different, you know, camp that particular summer. And I think He forgave that little girl because she wanted a puppy and not a little brother. I think God kind of weeds all of that out. And so anyway, before we get into the meat of this sermon, let's go ahead and pray. Father, help us this morning, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, understand this better. Lord, this is big stuff. This is big stuff. Because, God, you want us communicating with you. You want us trusting you. And there's so many hindrances standing in the way. There's so many things that just block us from doing that. Some of it's a lack of knowledge, and some of it's just the world. We're just so tangled up in things. And sometimes the evil one just gets in the way. Father, but would you help us this morning? Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Help us to be praying individuals, and help us to be a better praying church. We love you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to just let you know that prayer is a privilege. It's an absolute privilege. I love hearing Orville. I don't want to embarrass Orville, but I've been in some prayer sessions with Orville, and every time he prays, he says, "Lord, thank you for the privilege of prayer." And it is that. It is a right that we haven't really fought for. It's something that Jesus Christ did on the cross. Part of the package deal with him going to the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, is that we get to pray. We have that opportunity. God desires that on a consistent basis. And, sorry, I lost my train of thought. He wants us to pray. Did I say that? I didn't say that, did I? But it's an absolute privilege. It's a right that we have, and God wants us engaged in that. In regard to the questions that were asked, and in a lot of different circles, I think there's maybe a couple of issues that we struggle with in prayer as far as in regard to how do we pray. And that theme kind of ran through the questions that were submitted. Do we pray for just God's will to be done? And that's it. Like the Lord's Prayer, we prayed that this morning. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we pray that way? Or do we pray more specifically with some kind of outcome in mind? I think there's a particular struggle in that regard, and it kind of sounds like they're in contrast to one another. It kind of sounds like they're maybe perhaps contradictory, but well, they're actually not. It sounds like maybe that's confusion. Well, God's Word talks about both of those. God's not the author of confusion, and so we struggle with learning how to pray just by being believers in Christ as we pray together. God's Word also says some things about praying for God's will to be done, and this praying maybe specifically for certain things to happen. The Lord's Prayer, we pray that His kingdom should come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sounds like, all right, God, just your will be done on earth today as it is in heaven. Jesus said, if there is no doubting in prayer, that you can literally move mountains. You can speak to a particular mountain and cast it into the sea. Now, that can happen. That can happen because God's Word says it can. But that's praying with some kind of outcome in mind, not necessarily praying for God's will. 1 John says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, we can infer there if we pray things that aren't according to His will, maybe He doesn't hear us. That's not what it says, but that's what we can derive from that scripture. But it says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, Jesus says, and this is that same little cluster of scriptures where He says, if two or three are gathered in My name, I will be there. He says, if two of you agree on anything on the earth, it will be done for you. So there sounds like a contrast there. There's some kind of conflict about, you know, how do we pray? Do we pray specifically for God's will and His will only? Or do we get a little more bold and pray for certain outcomes, for certain things? And those things could be healing. It could be a new job. You may be in a job that you're not really satisfied. You may be in an office. You feel like you're stuck in an office and you're an outside person. And should we pray for God's will as far as moving you, or should we just say that to the Lord? God, I'm an outside person. I'm not my needs, or I'm just not feel like I'm fulfilled in this job. Could you move me to another job? We got issues with a new home as families expand. We need larger homes, teachers for our children, finances. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on about us praying either God's will or praying for some kind of outcome to take place. in those circumstances. So I want to look at those two things. I want to look at God's will, praying God's will, and then I want to look at us praying specifically for outcomes, God's will. You found your little fancy little bulletin insert again? You can take notes if you so choose to do so. There are some indications out of God's word that we know what his will is. Okay, and this list I'm fixing to give you is not all inclusive, but there are some things that we absolutely know this is God's will, and we can pray that direction with clarity and surety. The first one is salvation. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It's God's will that everybody is saved, that everybody accepts Christ as their Savior. That's God's will. Okay, he wishes nobody should perish. But as we look down here on earth, that's kind of not really playing out that way. God's word says that the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there's a narrow path that leads to eternal life. But it's God's heart, it's God's will that everybody be saved, that nobody should perish. So if we've got a family member, a spouse perhaps, that's unsaved, man, let's pray him into the kingdom, because we're praying God's heart. We're praying his will, that he does not want that particular person to perish, wants them to come to a saving knowledge of who Christ is. A second area in regard to God's will is marriage. His marriage. Let's read Matthew 19, 5 and 6, scripture that you're all familiar with. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. That's God's desire. That's God's will. That's God's heart for marriage. Now, I know there are marriages where there are abuse, abandonment, and neglect. I'm not saying somebody needs to stay in that situation. Sometimes a spouse needs to run from that situation. And I know there's probably some of you in this room that this may be your second marriage. You may be single right now. You may be into your third marriage. All I want to say to you is God bless you. God bless you. If you're in your second, third relationship, make this the one that nobody separates. Commit it to the Lord. But it's God's desire that what he put together, that nobody tear that apart. No man or no woman. So if we see a relationship that it makes no sense in the world, and I've seen some over the past several years, it's absolutely broke my heart. Strong, strong Christian people, men and women, that they just seem like they couldn't get along anymore. And I believe it's God's desire, it's his will, obviously, that they stay together. And man, we need to pray for those marriages. I mean, we need to pray for every marriage. I've seen God restore some things that were absolutely ugly, that you wouldn't think he could have put back together, but he did. So we can pray his will by praying that those marriages stay together. We can pray for our nation. The prophets in the Old Testament prayed for the nation of Israel, that they would return to the Lord. Now, that was God's heart. They were speaking the heart of God when they were praying for that nation, praying that they would repent. And we can pray that same prayer for the United States of America, our nation. I mean, God wanted Israel, the nation of Israel, walking in holiness, walking in righteousness. He wants that for our nation. So it's his will that we do that, so we can pray that direction and be assured that we're praying for his will. We're also told that we need to live in peace. In order to do that, in 1 Timothy, it tells us we need to pray for rulers, leaders, our president, Congress. No matter how much we disagree with what's going on, with the things that they do, we need to pray for them, our local leaders, maybe even our bosses, all of those are in authority over us. God's word says if we're going to have peace, we need to pray for them. That's his will. That's his heart. And the list goes on and on and on. If we lack wisdom, it's God's heart we have wisdom. Okay, we can pray for that. But there's a little tag on that we don't need to doubt that we're not going to get it, or we're probably not going to get it. God wants us to have it. So we need to pray for it and ask for it. And those things are praying directly in regard to his will. Now, I kind of got stuck this week on this part of the Lord's Prayer where we pray his kingdom come. I don't have a problem with that. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And, I got to thinking about something that God wants to happen, Okay, his will, something that's going on in heaven, something that God knows. And then he wants that to mirror, or he wants what's going on the earth to mirror what's going on in heaven. But, you know, I look around and our world's a mess. Our world's a mess. I spent 24 years in the fire service here in Abilene, Texas. And firefighters in Abilene, Texas, about 80% of their responses are medically related. And so I made a lot of medical calls over my career. And I tell you what, there's a lot of hurt, broken people in our city. And, you know, I saw things like men abusing women against their will and adults abusing children against their will. And I'm telling you, just such a mess in so many situations. And I'm thinking, all right, God, you want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That can't be your will in heaven. That just can't be your will. I can't reconcile that. I really can't. And so but that's God's desire. That's God's desire, that what's going on the earth will mirror what's going on in heaven. So there are a lot of things that maybe Scripture is not so clear about. Healing, for example. How do we pray for healing? Because, you know, we don't really get indication from Scripture maybe that that's His will that we're healed or we're not healed. There's verses that kind of speak to several of those different directions on that issue. But a lot of things that we see that going on earth, I'm going to wonder for a little bit. Is that okay? Not wander, W-A-N-D-E-R. If y'all see me out on a golf course, stop me because I'm wandering. But I'm just wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R, about this concept of His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not going to write a book on this. I'm not going to build a church off this theology. I'm just wondering. Let's kind of wonder together. Can we do that? Trying to reconcile that issue. There are a lot of things that go on the earth where we see an absence of that in heaven, and we don't get a really good glimpse of what God's will is in heaven. We can look in the book of Revelation, and it talks about there being no sickness, no shame, there be no sorrow, no tears, no weeping going on in heaven. And we get this picture of something that is different than what we see on the earth. And I think maybe perhaps I'm wondering again here in regard to us praying for specific outcomes. I'm wondering if we got a glimpse of His kingdom coming and His will be done, will being done on earth as it was in heaven when Jesus came, and we see that Jesus, touched those that need to be healed. We see that Jesus set those free from demonic influences. We see where He healed the lame and the blind, and there was joy brought to people, and I just kind of wonder sometimes maybe if that's going to be reconciled, what's going to happen on earth, I'm wondering again, what's going to happen on earth mirrors what happens in heaven. I wonder if we need to pray specifically about those circumstances. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not. But I believe that we can pray directly for God to heal. And sometimes I wonder if God's desire for healing is not the fifth chapter of James, that if we need to be healed, we need to call for the elders and let them anoint them with oil, pray over them, and the prayer that's offered in faith, that person will be healed. We're also told to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another so that healing will take place. I think perhaps, maybe possibly, God wants us to get a little bold and maybe kind of perhaps step out, okay? Now, these look like, to me, they're two contrasting things, two contrasting approaches to prayer. But, I think they coexist. I really do. Let's look at a situation Christ was involved in regard to that. Jesus was obviously the eternal and still is the eternal Son of God. There's no beginning with Him and there's no end with Him. And we can go 5 million years in the past, and we're no closer to the day that he was started begin to exist than we are today. And we can go 5 million years in the future, and we're no closer to the end of who Christ is than we are today. He's everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. And God's word says that he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So I'm assured that Jesus knew and the Father has known for eternity, which I can't really fathom eternity, that he was going to come and die for us. That was God's plan. He didn't have any other plan than that. And eternity just, it really baffles me because there's no calendar that they're flipping on a daily basis. There's no sun and moon. God is the light, so really, from an eternal perspective, God's just kind of dwelling in the present all the time because there's no past and there's no future. And so he and Christ have known for eternity and will know for eternity that he was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, that he would come and die for us. And let's look at Matthew 26, 38. The night before Jesus was crucified, he said to them, his three disciples, James, John, and Peter, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And I love what Mark chapter 14, 36 says, the same incident. It says, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Now Jesus knew God's will. He knew it. He knew it, he knew it, he knew it. And yet when it come down to the very end of the time for him to be crucified, he struggled with that. He struggled. He really did. And we see it in his prayer. He's agonizing. He's sweating drops of blood. He really didn't want to go through that. And I don't want to put words in Christ's mouth, but I'm wondering what he's thinking. He says, Father, for all things are possible. If there's any other way, let's do it some other way. I really don't want to do this. And Jesus wasn't chastised for that. You know, Jesus was our sinless Savior, and if that was sin for us, praying for something maybe other than God's will, maybe fully knowing what God's will is, you know, Jesus would have blew it right there. And he wouldn't have been our Savior. But he struggled with that. He struggled with that. So this concept of us praying God's will and us praying maybe for specific outcomes, I think they coexist. Because if we pray for anything at all, we've got to know that God has the last word. He has to have the last word. If we pray for healing for somebody, you know, God's got to have the last word. It's up to him. He rules and he reigns. But I don't think that should keep us from praying. You know, we'll never be what God wants us to be individually until we spend lots of time in prayer. I'm not saying how much that is. I just know we need to go before him. We'll never be the church God wants us to be until we spend time in prayer. You've probably seen insert in your bulletin, prayer ministry service sheet. You may have set that to the side. We've had a prayer ministry for probably the last 3 years in this church. We're really focused on being a house that's a house of prayer. And there's been a number of opportunities for people to get involved. We've probably got about 50 people in this church that's involved in our prayer ministry in some form or fashion. Just looking at the list, there's opportunities for people to pray at home. We send out prayer requests by email, mass distribution email. Weekly, sometimes that's two requests, sometimes that's seven and eight. And there's about 40 people at home that pray for those requests, and we try to keep things updated. And I'm telling you what, God's moving. God's moving. And people that are on that list, they know God's moving. And it's kind of the point where I'm thinking, boy, we can ask God for anything. Really. Not selfishly, but God's moving. We went through a pretty hard time where it seemed like he was silent. But God's moving. God's stirring. There's a prayer room on our attached to our building. Well, it's not attached to the building. It's part of the building. Front of the building, 1, 2, 3 stars, the combination. If you want to use that at any time, you can come in and use that. We have a prayer going on for morning services. Right now, my good brother Alan Farmer is praying for me, praying for you guys. That goes on every week, and there's probably, I don't know, 12, 14, 15, Judy, perhaps, that's on that list that they rotate. So that's once every 3 months or so, a commitment to miss church service and pray. I'm telling you what, it'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing. Those that's been in there know what I'm talking about. We've had prayer classes in the past, and we're going to think about having one in this fall. Pretty certain we're going to do it. Parents praying for their children. Covering their children, each other's children. We pray corporately on Sunday evenings here at 6 o'clock. Sal and Joanna Moncada, with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, lead that. And God just won't let us quit doing that. We've started and stopped a number of times, and God says, let's keep doing it. And then we have a prayer ministry team of 7 or 8 people that are involved in seeking the Lord about what's this prayer ministry supposed to be about. And what came out of our last meeting is somebody said, well, Billy, you need to preach on prayer, and we need to represent the prayer meeting. Well, I didn't know that Jeff was going to take off today, and so it was pretty obvious what I was going to preach on. But, you know, we want you to join us. If you'd like to be a part of that, if you maybe count down a hard time getting plugged in at church, and this is something that we all can do. If you don't feel like you need to be involved in it, that's okay as well. We're going to circulate this insert for probably another 2 or 3 weeks, so you'll see it again. So hang on to it and just fill out the information when you can, and we'd love to have you join us in this ministry. Like I said a while ago, the outcome always has to be up to God, and sometimes there's disappointments in prayer. I mean, sometimes it, you know, we're rejoicing because God seems to move and situations are better, and sometimes things seem to be getting worse, and so there's lots of disappointment with that. But again, in the end, we've got to know that God is sovereign, God's in control, and nothing escapes His notice. My good friend Lee Butler cornered me back here about 10 o'clock, said, Billy, I've got a song that I think may fit for your sermon. He didn't know I was preaching on prayer, and he had put something together and showed it to Terry, hoping Terry maybe could do a special at some point. And this song fits so well. So I've got to believe with all my heart that this is for somebody this morning. And I pray that it ministers to you. Lee.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease suffering, and all the while you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleep nights of what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not. What if
Father, we thank you, God, for your love for us. Oh, Lord, we just don't understand you sometimes. And Father, we have to rest assuredly in the fact that you're absolutely sovereignly, lovingly, in control. And Lord, I don't know if I've helped or hindered this morning, Father, but God, I just pray that you stir up a passion in us individually to know you more. And God, if you want to use trials to do that, use trials to do that. God, stir up a passion in us as a church to know you more. And Lord, you know best, so whatever means possible you need to do that, we want to embrace that. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for what Jesus did for us on the cross, so we can come to you, that we can have a relationship with you, so we can know you more. God, change us this morning for your glory. Change every one of us in this room for your glory this morning. That may be something very subtle, but changes, God. We need you. We love you, we praise you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand in worship. I want to remind you that the altar is open if you feel like you need to come and do business with the Lord. If you need to pray with somebody, grab somebody you know and trust, or I'd be willing to do that as well.
Draw me close to you.
You are my desire. You're all.
Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Appreciate you tolerating me another week. And again, visitors, if it was, come back next week, and you'll be blessed. Anyway, God bless you. Church, let's be a people in a church that prays without ceasing. Can we commit to do that? The best that we can on this side of eternity, let's do that. God bless you. Go tell somebody what Jesus has done for you.